do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of one man's brain. Hello, one man.
Hello. I am that man. I'm Besha. How are you?
I have to make this robot face, John, in order to keep my voice so even. If you've ever worked customer service, you've been told to smile so that people can hear it in your voice. That's why my face looks like this.
It's the same principle. It's not literally the same thing. It's the same principle.
It's true. It's true. Besha, welcome back. Holy shit.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I have been sick a lot, and I've been raising a dog, which it turns out is a lot of work.
Yes,
actually,
indeed.
And I've had a lot of work stuff, but I'm delighted to be back.
I am so delighted to have you back. I mean, like, I've had a sort of a rotating crew of guest hosts, and they're all fantastic. But you know, there is no replacing Besha.
Thanks.
What are some of the main improvements that you think whiskey has made since the last time?
Whiskey can now sit, lie down, and fist bump.
Oh.
And she can jump up to about my waist level, which is pretty great. I'm looking forward to taking her to agility training.
Nice.
She has a sweet-ass diploma from puppy manners class.
Oh, nice.
It has her name on it. Look, it's up there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it says whiskey right there on it, and they spelled whiskey correctly.
It's, you know what?
It's a big deal.
Vital. This is vital.
She, everything else is downhill. You know, her little tiny toe beans have calluses on them now, and she's not as squirmy, and she no longer goes completely apeshit when I blow raspberries on her belly, so all of those are less good.
I see.
You know, she's learning. She only pees in the house when she feels like it. less when she feels like it than it used to be.
I understand. Has she reached her top? Like, when does she reach the size that she's going to be?
She's 5 months right now, so probably the next few months she will.
Huh.
And right now she's 10 pounds, so she will maybe top out at 15.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
It's an exciting journey. Development. It's an adventure of cleaning pee out of things I never thought I'd clean pee out of.
Indeed. Well, the only change that I think I've undergone since last we saw each other was that my body has developed like new allergy symptoms. Like,
oh, cool.
Like for the past, it's not even that it's new allergy symptoms. It's just they're more intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody warned me that as I aged, new shit would start to happen. Like, the inner rims of just my nostrils, like, the entrances to my nostrils itch.
Oh.
But
I saw you tweet about that.
Yes. I mean, they've been itching more and worse, and it's just like, I'm constantly, I mean, you can't see me doing it, listeners, but it's like,
pinching your nose so that you're not scratching inside of it in public.
But there's also kind of a circular, there's like a rubbing that has to happen of the rims. I look like I'm trying to handle a Coke habit and it's not going well. And it's just like, it's that and that, but also the roof of my mouth itches.
Oh, that was what you tweeted about.
Yes, and that fucking, you can't, like, I get up in there with, I have to scratch with my finger.
Yep, my nose itches just thinking about this. Oh, God.
It's the worst.
Oh, it's awful.
I'm not in.
And it's not socially acceptable to just jam a thumb in there.
I stick an index finger. I just, you know, like, I have to scratch because there is, you know, the thing that used to work where you would just kind of run your tongue, to kind of like press it against the roof of your mouth, like, it doesn't fucking do the job. No.
You need some, like, lidocaine.
Yeah.
Some, like, throat numbing spray for coughs.
Yeah, maybe.
Or lube.
But then I would be tasting it, right?
That's probably true,
and it's probably terrible.
They give it terrible flavors, like fake cherry.
I mean,
it might be worth it.
What? I will have to find out.
Or you could set it on fire, which does not have a taste. Except for that burnt match sort of.
It comes with its own set of problems.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Perhaps it is time for us to introduce our guest for this week.
Hello.
Hello, guest.
I'm so happy to be here.
Hello, Gus, that I used to do this radio voice with.
Well, let me answer in my radio voice. So, hi.
Bye.
I'm so thrilled to be on this episode. My name is Yuri, and I'm a repat because I used to be an expat, and now I've repatriated back to the States.
It's such a good time.
I really couldn't have chosen a better moment.
We need to.
It's true, yes. In our hours,
we show
you your
signal.
So, yeah, I'm a San Francisco Bay Area native, lived in France for nearly 10 years, and am now back to save you all from...
God fucking thank you so much.
Death.
And you know what? If it doesn't work out, you can just flee back to France. It'll be...
I also have a bonus Canadian citizenship, so
incredible.
I have several places I can flee to.
Incredible.
If I want. So, yeah, if my rescue effort doesn't work, then...
You rat bastard.
To Canada I go.
For those of you who haven't heard this show before, welcome. So what's happening is that I... about a decade ago, decided I would start writing down every idea that I had the instant I had it, which has resulted in a vast pile of ideas that I've never used. And so it's time to put them out into the world for somebody else to pick up and run with. And the way I've chosen to do that is by sitting friends of mine down in front of the pile, and they get to root through it and be like, what in the fuck is that? And we're going to talk about it.
And sometimes John says... it's neither this or that, but yeah. I'm not sure.
Since past me was...
It's been 7 years.
Exactly. Past me has about, I think, like an 85% hit rate as far as writing stuff down.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes he fell down on the fucking job.
Yeah. Thanks a fucking lot. Past John.
Yuri, what have you got
right.
for us?
Right. So, I think that opening up with a question is a great way. This is such a treasure trove. It's really hard to choose. But this question, werewolf bites alligator, what happens? is one I think we need an answer to immediately.
I honestly don't know. Because, the easy answer, right, is that on full moons, the alligator becomes...
A wolf. Yeah.
But, like... Werewolf denotes some manner of like sentient wolf, right?
Yeah.
Like a wolf man.
Right.
So does that therefore mean that there should be an extra step of transformation where the crocodile or the alligator becomes sentient alligator, like a lizard man, who then grows a bunch of hair and becomes like a wolf lizard man? This is the question that I had. Does the alligator... Was it an alligator or a crocodile?
Yeah, it's an alligator.
So, yeah, does the alligator just, like, skip that and just become a mammalian, you know, just a full-on wolf man?
Huh. I've always found there to be something vaguely racist about werewolves. Kind of like, there's always, like, a half-elf and a half-orc. I'm like, but where's the half-orc, half-elf?
Yeah.
The default assumption is that they're half human, and
right.
nobody ever calls them half human. Except I think I insisted on that for a while in D&D. I mean, I think it makes sense to have a werewolf that just transitions between wolf and alligator.
An alligator with no intermediary. Yeah,
but does the alligator receive an intelligence upgrade in the transformation process?
Sentient because it's
because
half
of this,
human.
Oh fuck! Oh, I see. Okay. Oh.
I mean, wolves are pretty smart, but
That for some reason that had never occurred to me.
Actually, it could never, ever be sentient. It could just be between wolf and alligator and retain kind of the...
Some alligator-ness.
Alligator-ness.
That's an alligator with real hairy alligator
knuckles. One vicious son of a bitch.
This is especially interesting because...
These might exist.
Well, I think... the problem, I think, is that alligator modes of hunting and wolf modes of hunting are diametrically opposed to each other.
That's true.
Like, alligators like to lie and wait for their prey. And, you know, and because...
Then they'll chase them, you know,
it's
for
true.
All, like 15 feet or something.
They can move in very
fast
bursts. Yes.
Yeah.
But, and their digestive system is such that, like... You know, they can eat a whole fucking deer and then not worry about it for like weeks afterwards.
True.
Right? So like, As a werewolf, as a were-gator, no, because were-gator would...
Gator-wolf.
Gator-wolf. A gator-wolf.
Wolf-gator.
Yes. Ooh.
Wolf-gator.
I like wolf-gator, too.
I think it sounds kind of like wolf-blitzer.
as a wolf-gator, I think...
Do you think that the gator just, like, trundles along being a gator, and it's, like, drifting down the bayou, and then it's like... Huh, that's weird. Usually I eat a meal every 4 weeks, but it's been like 6 months. Because it's been feeding as a wolf?
Right, yeah. When it transitions into wolf mode, it fucking hunts. And then, like,
and then when it goes back, it's like, weird, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Huh. That's fine.
It's okay. Fine.
That's weird, and it doesn't exactly have a lot of curiosity. No. Because it's not sentient.
Totally. Huh.
It's an alligator.
So what you end up with is an alligator that's always full.
Basically. I mean, if we're right about how often they have to eat, you know, once every full moon or so.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, here's my theory.
Uh-huh.
These already exist.
Huh.
We just don't know it because nobody's checking the alligators to see if they turn into wolves at the full moon. I'm sure that there are, like, legends in the Everglades that there are still wolves there. I don't know this, but I assume so.
Okay, but what happens at the moment of transition? Because you've got this alligator, and it could just be in the middle of doing its alligator-y thing in the middle of a gigantic river or something.
That could be, you know what, that might be what it is.
Really angry wolves.
When they transform into wolves, they simply drown. We've never seen them because, like,
oh yeah, they probably like drift. I feel like they don't really spend that much time ashore, do they? I could be totally wrong.
They drift as logs. I think sometimes they spend time hanging out on the bottom of the river.
Uh-huh.
So, like, yeah,
I was reassured, and now I'm not at all reassured and terrified. I was like, oh, an alligator that's never hungry. Like, what? Cool.
It's a really, really angry wolf. Who spends the entire time just, like, shaking it all off and shivering, and then is like, fuck this, I'm eating a deer. Or a swamp pig. I saw a swamp pig in Louisiana.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like 200 pounds.
Oh.
Its name was Notorious P.I.G.
Nice.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
That's amazing.
So this next idea is totally relevant to my interests, or at least in theory, I think it could be. So it's under service, and it's drink line pulley delivery systems.
I had this thought when I was, I was at the Latin American Club, and... this actually would be for literally any bar, right? Where, like, you've got the bar in one part, but, like, there's all these people who need drinks. What if there was a radiating set of clotheslines that came out from the bar into the rest of the space, and onto which you could hook little carts, little gondolas. I'm picturing kind of, like, little ski gondolas that you could put a drink into, and then just kind of, like, pull the rope, and then, like, you know, the drink would just kind
maybe
of, like,
you send
go out
your
there.
Money first.
Yeah. So,
and,
like,
you get a drink back.
You put your order in the little gondola with your money, and it just kind of, like, goes overhead, and then, like, you know, there's it's like it drops down at the bar, and, like, okay, great, and they make the thing, and then basically
that sounds excellent, but has a high potential for your drink not making it back to you.
That's why I feel like it would be the kind of thing where, like, the gondola has to like, it spends most of its time hugging the ceiling, right?
Okay.
And so it only drops down at the bar and then at whatever spot you're at. So that's the part that needs some thought.
Yeah, technically speaking.
Bar back has a pellet gun and just takes pot shots at thieves. I mean, I feel, I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen tips get stolen in bars a lot, even though they get abandoned and nobody's really close to them. So, then again, I might not be watching.
Kind of a corollary to this is in a lot of Japanese sushi restaurants in Japan, where there's the really sophisticated, there's the regular conveyor belt system, and then there's the really sophisticated conveyor belt system where your exact dish sort of whooshes out, and there's like these separate chutes that sort of deliver the dish to your table.
I have never.
And so maybe this could be adapted.
System of canal locks.
That sounds incredible. I have never witnessed such a system.
So you order from your table, and it just goes zip, 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 and it
You're not just sitting there waiting for your bag to get by after you've gotten off the plane and hoping that no one takes it.
You'd have to be really, really fast to nab somebody else's sushi because that thing just whizzes past your face. And it only stops in front of the right table.
I would.
So if there's an alcoholic version of this, sign me up.
I'm sold. Especially in Latin America.
In terms of the line pulley delivery system, I was actually thinking, because I lived in a 7th floor walk-up without an elevator, hence walk-up, in Paris, and I thought, wouldn't it be great, because there was a cafe bar on the ground floor.
Dumb waiter. That is.
Yes, exactly. I'd be like, I'm really thirsty, just lower my drink money down. Receive drink.
Eat your baguette that way every day, too.
Yes.
Send down the euro, get a baguette.
Line pulley everything.
I was just thinking about how there's a corner store, you know, a block and a half away, but we don't have line of sight to them. And then I was thinking about how I think it's Speakeasy internet in the city. You have to have line of sight to one of their transmitters in order to get it.
Oh, interesting.
It went off on this whole thing about how if you're in line of sight of the corner store, then you can get a pulley system. And how real estate gets marked up based on line of sight to corner stores as much as it does to, like, you know, proximity to BART. It went a little off the rails.
So I'm looking at your vault, and this made me crack up. So tell us your story, John, about the frozen egg murder weapon.
Okay. Is this under the story category?
Yes, it is.
I mean, like, where, like, you...
Is this like an Agatha Christie sort of...
Probably, yeah. Where, like, somebody freezes an egg and then uses it to kill somebody. And then... you freeze the egg, and then you use it perhaps as a projectile, and, like, you know, you puck it at their skull, it shatters them, but since it's an egg, like, it will eventually melt. And then, like, whatever kind of, like, you know, because, like, with bullets, right, like, they're...
Why does it have to be an egg?
Why can't it just be an ice cube?
Because ice doesn't work that way. You can't use ice as a bullet because it'll just...
But can you really use an egg?
I have no idea. That I don't know. That I do not know.
But also, it's not going to just melt. You can't have someone dead with an egg melted all over him. Is it hard-boiled and then frozen?
I would hard-boil it and then freeze it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once it melts, as it were, it loses whatever characteristics that it had when it at the point of impact. So, like, there's no...
You can't trace the murder weapon.
Yeah, there's no way to forensically...
Other than the egg all over the guy.
Exactly. Like, somebody might be able to work out what happened, but they wouldn't be able to figure out...
Ballistics is running some tests.
Yeah.
We have no idea whether it's the
but
same
if it's
egg.
Like some... in an otherwise, I mean, unless it was, I don't know, the kitchen
in a
Easter
kitchen.
Weekend.
Right, yeah.
You'd just be like, it would be an otherwise normal bedroom with an egg.
With an egg, that's true.
And not only an egg, but an egg that is, like, probably chipped into a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
It's gently thawing out.
Yeah, but assuming the body wasn't discovered for some time, you know, I mean, you could murder somebody with the egg and then, like, get more eggs and just kind of, like, scatter them around the place, just making it seem like the guy choked.
He had a weird egg thing.
Yeah, he had a weird thing about eggs and, like, I don't know, like, just, yeah. This is the kind of murder that could be that could only be performed in at like an Easter banquet of some sort, or like I don't know. I don't have a fully fledged story for this one, but as we can all
or
see,
physics.
It is ripe. It is
yes, so to speak.
It's ready.
Speaking of ripe,
yes.
Let's talk about this product idea of an implantable dog fart neutralization cartridge.
Yes.
I see where you're going with this.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because dog farts, man.
They're the worst.
They are just...
Whiskey never eats people food, so thus far...
I mean...
She's been all right.
There will inevitably come the day where she eats something off the street.
And that dog fart will happen. And then her entire gut biome will be destroyed for life, and I will need this cartridge.
Deflagration, yeah.
And that's the only problem, is that I don't know how to design something of that type, where it would be like... Yeah, I mean, I just had the idea.
It has to be fart-activated, but... a deposit that is not destroyed with each fart, but rather lets out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, there are deposited drugs Depo-Provera that release a hormone slowly, but they don't really rely on a fart happening.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be triggered to that particular...
It's an interesting problem.
Activated. Yeah. Well, you can't just have it stay around in there.
Right.
Well, but why implant it otherwise?
It won't.
Well, you gotta find a convenient location, like base of the tail.
Yeah,
like a microchip, basically.
Yeah, it could be. You know what? It could be a tiny gas sensor that like, you know, that is set to trigger at the presence of whatever methyl mercaptans. I think.
You know what? I confuse implantable and insertable.
Insert it every time you thought your dog might fart.
Well, you can imagine. It's like
crazy talk.
My dog.
That's a ridiculous idea.
Ate something weird at the park. When I get home, I'm gonna stick a little cartridge in.
Maybe just a cork.
No, wait. Implantable sounds much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
fully on board with this.
Just like a microchip.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we have time for one more.
Is it that time already? Oh my gosh.
I like to strive for like a 25-minute-ish, you know.
I had a lot to talk about.
This is fair.
Whiskey's learning common things.
So, what is the How Old Is Blank app?
Okay. That's actually a really good question. I think that it is it's an app that you can use that... All right, hang on just a second. Let me think about this. How old is... Is there anything... There's nothing in the notes field?
Nothing in the notes.
Oh, pass, John. You fucking...
I see this going two directions.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so the first direction is often in a group of friends, you're talking to be like, oh, yeah, that person, whatever, famous person. Like, how old are they? And it's true. It's a fairly common question. You could just be like, in the app... plug in their name, but Wikipedia does the same thing.
And so does Google, I think. They'll do it for
Google height. Surfaces that fairly...
The other less innocuous usage is because you don't want to ask somebody's age because you don't want to be impolite, but you're burning to know how old they are, so you surreptitiously take a picture of them and they give you the age of the person.
It's sort of like...
I don't know.
I have this terrible hunch.
If you type in how old is into Google, the first hit is Donald Trump and the second one is Drake. What? Asking the important questions.
He's
30.
Oh, fascinating.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that this idea might have been logged in the before time when, like, Google didn't display that information easily. But I like Yuri's second case, though, because I feel like there are definitely times where you want to know how old somebody that you know is, but you don't want to fucking ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, we're at that stage now where, like, that information is certainly out there for pretty much everybody. So, you know, I mean, like, an app that just renders that... easy to know.
Just check Spokio and Facebook and... Spokio?
I don't know either. I pronounce it as Spokio.
I spoke... Oh, surely not. Anyway, so, it just crawls those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad that we have
That's
solved
creepy
this.
As hell. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, past me. All right. we have reached that part of the episode where we give a terrible recommendation or perhaps discuss an idea that our guest has. Yuri, do you have something for
us? I do. I have an idea. So, and let me preface this by saying that this idea has absolutely no social significance or relevance whatsoever.
Unlike the implantable dog fart.
Exactly. So, you know, now with the memory, I have a memory foam pillow, and it's basically two lumps with a depression in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the center of that depression where you rest your head, you don't really use... I mean, you don't need actual pillow there.
Hmm.
So why not put a spittle drip tray in the middle of the pillow for belly sleepers who tend to drool because belly sleeping?
Yes. That
and...
As a side sleeper, I have no idea how that works. But it makes total sense to me.
Sort of, I mean, it's sort of like the massage chair idea. You have a space for your face.
There.
But this is specifically so that you can drool as much as you need to during the night, and then you just empty the tray in the morning.
Incredible. No, that's a great idea. I mean, because I feel like I've encountered some sleep droolers in my time. I'm a back sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes transitioning to a side sleeper, but I don't think... Rare is the time that I wake up and I'm on my belly. But yeah, I mean, like, I've always wondered that. Like, how do they deal with the drool?
Me too. And I tried to come up with, you know, a disruptive, innovative solution to address this hard-hitting...
Okay, so we kickstart it. And then one of our stretch goals is that we build a little robot that cleans up the drool for you.
Oh,
Robot.
I mean,
Droolbot, I call him.
Hardware solutions are among the hardest to get kickstarted, but you know what? I believe in us.
Me too.
Actually, I believe in your listeners.
Yes, actually, that's true. Yeah, somebody out there can make this happen.
Arlen.
Yeah, Arlen. Yeah. We'll be in touch.
I would like credit.
I'll take the cut. Sorry, John.
You know what? That's totally fine. That's totally fine. You knew her first.
It's true.
Well, thank you once again for listening to our show. This podcast is available pretty much anywhere you listen to them now. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, whatever platform you're using. Consider leaving us a nice review or rating, or whatever it is that platform uses, if it's like stars or thumbs up or whatnot.
Hearts.
Yes.
Preferably hearts. Whatever it is, you only use the platforms with hearts.
Because it will theoretically help more people discover this madness, and it increases the chances of one or more of these ideas actually getting used sometime.
Yes.
I can be found online on Twitter and Instagram as Ferocious J. The word ferocious, the letter J.
I can be found on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A. If you follow me, please let me know that you're following me because of this and not because you think I'm a science fiction writer, which has apparently been happening lately. It's kind of cool.
Sorry. I can be found on Twitter at my initials, Y-N-C.
Excellent. And remember, if you have heard an idea that you like and you want to do it, go ahead. I would just like credit.
I'll take a cut.
Me too. Doo-doo.
Doo-doo.